Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Chris is doing his best Beast of Bocky Creek imitation. I'll tell you, with Lyle Blackburn, his first book was The Beast of Bocky Creek. Earlier, we were exploring Lizard Man. So, Lyle, let's look at the surroundings. It's not a place that anyone really wants to visit or move into, unless you're being, I guess, pursued by the law. But there are no cabins or things like that out there.
No. I mean, a lot of people like to go there, and, you know, Bigfoot enthusiasts often go to Falk. It's like the Mecca of Southern Bigfoot. But no, you're not going to find cabins or motels or anything. It's definitely very rural. Certainly was in the early 70s, and is still, you know, a small, you know, off-the-way town.
Sounds like a pretty Falked-up place to live.
Yeah. So, but basically, the most famous sighting occurred in 1971. A family by the name of Ford moved to the town for work, and there was actually a couple of families, and the guys were gone at night, and over a few progressive evenings, the women had heard something stalking around on the porch that they thought was walking on two legs. It seemed to be large, and on one evening it actually stuck its hand, a hairy hand or a paw or something, through the window. So, of course, you know, they were scared out of their minds, and this all culminated with the guys borrowing a shotgun for the landlord and confronting the creature on a Saturday night in May of 1971. And they ended up taking some shots at it from the porch, and they weren't sure if they hit it, so the guys went down to the edge of the woods to look. Well, this was three guys, one of them being the younger brother, Bobby Ford. Well, as they were looking around, you know, they couldn't find any blood or any evidence they had hit it. Bobby was getting really spooked out. He's thinking, man, if we miss that thing and it's standing over there in the woods, it's freaking me out. I'm going back to the porch. Here's the light. You know, you guys, keep looking. So as he's heading back up to the house, something comes around the edge of the porch and engages him in a struggle, basically. And he ends up, getting free and nearly jumping through the front door. Now, he thought that what he was attacked by was some sort of a human-like, ape-like creature. He had scratches. He was banged up. So they took him to the Texarkana Hospital, where he was treated for minor injuries and shock. Well, you know, you got the doctor down there saying, what happened? He says, I was attacked by a hairy monster in Falk. Well, that, you know, the doctor calls the local news media guy and said, hey, man, I got a guy down here who says he was attacked by a hairy monster. You should go check it out. And that's what happened. And the news got involved. That got printed in the paper. And that's what kind of put it on the map. But once this all came out, the old timers basically said, hey, you know, this isn't the first time this type of thing's been reported. Don't y'all remember back in the 60s, there was a whole huge flap of sightings about 5 miles southwest of here in Jonesville. Well, this started, you know, brewing up all the old sightings, sort of like the Lizard Man case, where there had been a lot of stuff going on. They just didn't tell the newspaper. However, there was many, many sightings. And most people generally believed that the Falk monster sightings began in the 1940s, or that's what you used to find if you searched the internet. However, I found that there were sightings back to at least 1908 in this area. Another false impression was that the sightings ended after the movie came out and, you know, things died down. Well, what I found that there was sightings that continued in the 80s, 90s, all the way until today, some of these even more dramatic than what the Fords experienced. So it's something that hasn't stopped. It's just that the movie kind of ran its course and the media moved on. And, you know, most people didn't hear of it until my book came out. And that sort of filled in all the gaps and brought the whole entire history of this to the forefront again.
Well, that leads us to a question from one of our forum posters, Burnt State. And he kind of points out something interesting, which I would like you to address. And he says, the Falk monster is unique for its three-toed impressions, which kind of reminds us of our Lizard Man report from South Carolina. And did the earlier Jonestown monster that the Falk monster is connected to also leave behind three-toed prints? And are you aware of any examples of other three-toed Sasquatch footprints?
Yes. The creature, the fountain monster, yes, is associated with having three-toed tracks. And a lot of this was based on a trackway that was found in the summer of 1971, shortly after the Ford incident, in which the creature had presumably walked across a freshly plowed bean field. And this is dramatized in The Legend of Boggy Creek. I go into great detail in my book about this, obviously. That was, you know, the best example of three-toed tracks. Some of the other sightings, the sheriff thought that he found some three-toed tracks. They weren't, you know, very defined, so they weren't sure. In another case, a person thought that it had four toes. Now, in more recent times, I met a witness down there who actually cast a really good five-toed print. So when you start dealing with this whole three-toed aspect of the Fout monster, it really expands into the southern Sasquatch in general, because three-toed tracks are found elsewhere. And I do know researchers who have found three-toed tracks. They've cast these. They've said that, you know, they believe them to be tracks. However, you also find a lot of five-toed tracks as well. So it's hard to reconcile just what the three-toed track represents. You know, is it a certain individual who has a deformity? Is this something from these small populations being inbred? Are the three-toed tracks, you know, hoaxes? And with some dubious business going on with this famous trackway found in Falk that you can read more about in the book. But, you know, it's not unlike some of the Lizard Man stuff. And again, you know, you got a swamp. Falk is near a place called Mercer Bayou and the Sulphur River bottom. So you have a swampy area. Suddenly you have three-toed tracks. So definitely fascinating. But there's just not enough examples of it to really ultimately decide if, you know, all the creatures in the area have three toes, or if it's just one with a deformity, or if this is one incident that simply, you know, isn't real.
You mentioned in your research that you found alleged sighting reports anecdotally that go all the way back into the early 20th century. What are we talking about here? Give us a sense of the geography of the area. Where did all these reports that have been, you know, filed over the years, are they all centered around a particular area, Boggy Creek? Do we have any sort of indication that whatever this hypothetical group of humanoid creatures, have they expanded? Are they location specific? And, you know, the whole thing about three toes, I mean, unless you're a dinosaur, it would be kind of difficult to be able to negotiate that kind of terrain with only three toes, I would think. But give us a sense of the area around Boggy Creek and where the other anecdotal sighting reports have come from.
Well, it's really within about a 20 square mile area where most of the sightings have taken place. And I've plotted these on a detailed map, so I'm quite familiar where each one had occurred. In general, they occur south of Falk, which would encompass that Jonesville area that our listener asked about, all the way down to the end of Mercer Bayou. And the first sighting in 1908 happened down at the bottom end of Mercer Bayou, the most southern point. And that was a small girl reporting that she had seen some sort of a hairy man, you know, which is, you know, kind of a sketchy report. But going up in the 20s and 30s and 40s, you start getting more of these same kind of things. And they would range generally in that Mercer Bayou area and near the Sulphur River as well.
We have Lyle Blackburn. His books are The Beast of Boggy Creek and Lizard Man. Right now we're focusing on The Beast of Boggy Creek, which makes me not want to be visiting Arkansas anytime soon. Okay, with Gene and Chris, you're in the Paracast. Neighbors, are you tired of dealing with a slow web hosting provider? Well, check out A2 Hosting and their screaming fast Swift server platform. They even have SSDs that load pages 300% faster than the competition. Ready to give your site a speed boost? Well, tell you what, neighbors, head on over to a2hosting.com. That's A2, that's number 2, a2hosting.com. Check out their Prime Hosting account. And get this, neighbors, they're even giving you an exclusive 25% off discount for all our listeners. 25%. And remember, their Guru Crew support team is standing by 24/7, 365 days a year to answer any of your questions. Now, to get the discount, use the coupon code GENE when you check out.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $29.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and comes with free shipping. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to faketv.com. That's 877-532-5388 or faketv.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
There are many things the human body can do very well, but maintaining the proper pH level isn't always one of them. That's where AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops can make a world of difference. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops helps your body do what's natural. Just a few drops a day helps rid your body of harmful waste and acid while promoting health and restoring vibrance and energy. Alkalizing boosts your immune system and can help fight headaches, irritability, cramping, and insomnia. Alkalizing also helps the body fight depression and even bone loss. To learn more about the importance of alkalizing and how you can find life-changing and vital balance, please visit AlkaVision's brand new website at AlkaVision.com. Same great products, but now easier to use and more informative than ever before. To get your very own plasma pH drops for just $29.95, call 800-518-7615 or visit AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Alkalize your body and supercharge your health at the new AlkaVision.com.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Hey, you know, we have this group of people here, of which our guest is now joining this illustrious crew, Brad Steiger, Nick Redfern, Red Pill Junkie, and even Bryce Sable. Okay, on the Paracast this week, it's all monsters all the time. You know what bothers me a little bit about all this is you have these little pockets of cases that become suddenly famous, like Boggy Creek, like the Lizard Man in South Carolina, like, of course, Mothman in West Virginia. Is there a reason at all in your research? Can you determine why they seem to show up in these little pockets around the country?
Well, I'm not sure. Part of it is just, you know, what happens to get in the paper. And I mean, you know, these creatures are identified suddenly with some regional name, such as the Falk Monster, and it's being printed in the paper as such. And I think people have some impression that the Falk, because it's called the Falk Monster, that it's something different than, say, a southern Sasquatch creature from Texas. Down there they call them, you know, the Caddo Critter or the Sabine Thing. But, you know, basically they're the same thing. I mean, they're described in a similar way. If you start looking at the map, you see that all these waterways and forest areas connect together. So whereas one town may call it one thing, or, you know, another town calls it the other, really we're just talking about southern Sasquatch creatures, not necessarily a whole bunch of varied and different primate or ape-like creatures. So a lot of it just depends on what gets in the paper. And, of course, in the case of The Legend of Boggy Creek, where you have a famous movie made about it, you know, it stands as sort of an iconic creature unto itself, the Falk Monster. But, you know, essentially, if you start looking into these in great detail, you find that, you know, you're just kind of dealing with southern Sasquatch or a skunk ape in a more general sense. They don't recognize town names or borders or states or anything like that. And they may move, obviously, up and down waterways and in through forest areas from one town to another.
Let me ask you a question here which bothers me. And that is, we have all these very fascinating reports over the years of strange creatures. We've got the Lizard Man, we've got the Mothman, Beast of Boggy Creek, Bigfoot, whatever. But it doesn't seem as if investigators are really getting us any closer to a conclusion as to what's going on. Is there a better approach, do you think?
Well, you know, it might be time for a better approach, because you're right. You're not getting any closer. And it's funny, if you go back and watch a show, say, from the 1970s, a show In Search Of, for example. It was a show that ran on television. It was narrated by Leonard Nimoy. It was quite popular. You look at that, and you look at a modern-day show such as Monster Quest, which was a great show. It was about the same subject of cryptozoology and unexplained monsters. You look at those two, and, I mean, they're very similar. You realize that what they were doing back in the 70s was pretty much what we're doing today. It's no different. We do have some more sophisticated equipment and gear to use nowadays, but the approach is the same. The dedication by these researchers is the same. What we know about these creatures is still the same. So I'm not sure what more there can be done to, you know, to really facilitate the proof of these things. You know, they just tend to remain just on the edge, you know, of our civilization, just on the edge of our grasp. It's still a mystery. It's an ongoing mystery. And, you know, maybe something that will just continue like this forever. I don't know. Or, you know, but other than a body coming forth to where we can ultimately scientifically examine it, it's just going to remain just out of the hands of these researchers.
Now, let me say something funny. Don't take it as an insult. But hasn't it been said that if you keep doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, that's one definition of insanity?
Possibly.
All right. Well, you know, one thing that comes up occasionally is possible DNA testing. If we have another species here, not discovered, and they're crawling all over the place, what about a DNA sample? Let's see if we can't get evidence of something strange.
Well, you know, and that's something that they are doing. I mean, DNA is really starting to come into the picture because it's more affordable, and there's people that are actually, you know, reputable scientists that are actually willing to look at DNA evidence submitted from, you know, Bigfoot samples and things. So that's definitely something on our side. But, I mean, ultimately it still takes – it's going to take a quality sample in order to produce the right results. And to get that sample, you know, you got researchers out in the woods just looking for the proverbial needle in the haystack to find one little hair or one piece of skin or what have you in order to get the and extract the DNA out of. And so far, even samples with the best intentions have been either A, contaminated, or they come up to be something like bear or wolf or something, you know, that we didn't really want to hear, but that's the facts. You know, DNA and science don't lie. So, you know, we do have those tools, but you're still depending on amateur researchers using their own funds to go out in the woods and, against all odds, try to get themselves a little piece of a creature that, you know, has been successful in eluding everybody now for all this time.
Right.
You wonder, though, whether maybe what investigators of this sort ought to be doing is take a course in crime scene investigation. Learn how to gather the samples, certainly if you're not a professional. We understand the samples could be contaminated, especially out in a place where lots of creatures are roaming around. How do you get the sample? That's the one that will give you the smoking gun. But is there no way to possibly take some extra courses in that subject? Maybe learn a few techniques that will help you. Because where are we going now?
Right. I mean, there are researchers out there that are familiar with those techniques. And if they find a sample, they are going to follow the protocol that science recommends on data collection. So, you know, but again, you're just talking a wide range of people with interests into the subject, most being amateurs. You know, it's just sort of up to them to think, oh, well, maybe I should, you know, take a course on data collection. I should, you know more about evidence collection and things like that. Unfortunately, you know, a lot of them don't. I get, you know, photos of hair sent to me. I found this hair and I don't know what it is. Well, they're holding it in their hand. I'm like, oh, you know, if it's, you know, it's already been contaminated, you know. So people just get excited and don't think about these things. Whereas, you know, longtime researchers, and there are quite a few of those, they do know these techniques and they will observe them when possible. So you just have such a wide range of people looking into it.
Well, what do you think of Melba Ketchum's DNA study and how this particular project has been handled?
That's a question which we'll have to have answered in our next segment about that particular DNA study and about the implications. Lyle Blackburn is joining us. We're looking for strange creatures around the world with Gene and Chris. And Chris is not a strange creature, but sometimes I have my doubts about myself. You're in
the Paracast.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
Graphic Converter is the image manipulation tool for the rest of us. It does not use any database. You get full control of all your files. Want to view the images of a folder? Drag it into Graphic Converter and a powerful browser opens up to show your image files. You could use it for slideshows. You could use it to import images from digital cameras or from scanners. Need to do some image editing? You can do that too in Graphic Converter. Also, print catalogs. Convert from so many formats I can't even list them. Download now to see if Graphic Converter is good for you, like 1.5 million other users. Guess what? You could save money when you buy Graphic Converter. Use the coupon code Night Owl. Use the coupon code Night Owl to get a special price for Graphic Converter. Go to LemkeSoft.com. That's LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com. LemkeSoft.com.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day.
Visit the Berkey Guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey Guy.
Now you can get the same survival food U.S. Special Forces use on their toughest field missions. High protein, high energy freeze-dried foods known as long-range patrol rations or LRPs. Soldiers love LRP rations. They're lightweight and easy to carry. Easy to prepare by just adding water. Easy to enjoy because they taste great. Civilians love LRPs as a solution for emergency preparedness and recreational activities with limited storage space, such as hiking, climbing, sailing, or RV travel. Veteran-owned Freeze Dry Guy is your exclusive source for this 2013 U.S. military overrun. Long on nutrition, these delicious entrees have a long shelf life lasting decades. But this rare opportunity, this limited supply, will not last long. You have to act now. Call 866-404-3663, 866-404-FOOD. Or log on now to freezedryguy.com, freezedryguy.com.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means, cold and flu season. But don't worry, HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
This is Jerome Clark, author of the UFO Encyclopedia and other books. You're listening to the Paracast.
Strange Creatures and More. Gene and Chris talking to Lyle Blackburn. So Lyle, Chris had a question for you.
So, yeah, I think the Ketchum study has been handled terribly. I mean, unfortunately. And, you know, I don't pretend to be a scientist. I'm not going to read that paper and make any sort of levy judgment against it. I can only rely on the feedback from people who are trained and respected scientists who have made comments on this. And, you know, judging from that, you know, even if that was, you know, a viable study. Unfortunately, it was not handled in the protocol that mainstream science embraces. You know, the release of the journal, and there's just a whole lot of aspects that.
Excuse me, folks. We're getting into the inside baseball game here. We've got to tell our listeners what the Ketchum study is all about, and then we can go more into the flaws. Lyle?
Well, basically, the Melba Ketchum is a veterinarian that lives in East Texas, and she has taken it upon herself to, you know, do some scientific studies into Bigfoot. And they did a Bigfoot genome study, which collected various evidence and did DNA testing upon it, and to try to prove that Bigfoot is real, basically. And samples were taken from many different sources, and I know some of those sources are very reliable, and they were, you know, given over in good faith and things like that. But you're at the mercy of the people who are testing this. So the results of this DNA study were published in a journal, not a known scientific journal, but a journal that they created themselves with which to publish findings. Ouch, number one. So, you know, right off the bat, just by the way it's presented, most reputable scientists are just not going to pay any attention to it. They're going to say, yeah, it's par for the course with Bigfoot people. You know, they don't follow the right stuff. you know.
They use terms like angel DNA, which totally baffled me.
Yeah, all that kind of stuff. I mean, it just gets far-fetched real quick. I mean, you know, and that just turns people away from it. But, you know, judging from what other scientists, Todd Disattel, people like that have said, they just feel like it's, you know, it's just not a valid study. The results are dubious at best, and these things build up a lot of hype for a couple of years as people hear about them, but once it comes out, it just sort of dies a slow, whimpering death because it doesn't do anything except make the science of Bigfoot look even worse, unfortunately. So it's just not something that's helped anything, even if there was
We do have some reputable scientists like Jeffrey Meldrum, who has put his reputation as a certified and, you know, I mean, an accredited scientist. I think he's at the University of Idaho. Correct me if I'm wrong. But we do have some scientific interest in this particular subject. What do we have to do to take this thing to the next level so that academia and the scientific community will be kind of slam dunked into having to take this subject seriously? What do we need to do, Lyle?
Yeah, I mean, guys like Dr. Meldrum are a big credit to, you know, Bigfoot research as a whole. I mean, his expertise is in footprint analysis, locomotion of, you know, bipedal creatures. So, you know, he's not a DNA guy, but he's a good spokesperson for, you know, the science of Bigfoot. But ultimately, I mean, at this point, Bigfoot is a pop cultural icon. You know, scientists, it's got a stigma to it. Understandably so. There's been so much nonsense and hoax and silly stuff involved in it. Most scientists just are not going to listen anymore to any nonsense unless you have a piece of a creature, an extremely clear video, you know, which would be, you know, questionable at best just because you're really going to need a body to prove it. You know, it's just at this point, that's what it's going to take before mainstream science. And I'm not saying go out and kill a Bigfoot to get a body. I'm just saying that's what it's going to take, whether, you know, you find a piece or find a finger or a hair or something where it's a definitive, you know, sample that can create a DNA signature that can be verified as unknown.
Lyle, I've been monitoring a thread at forum.theparacast.com where our listeners can ask our guests questions. One of the threads has been kind of zeroing in on this whole anomaly of hunters allegedly seeing a Bigfoot, having them, you know, in their rifle scope and then not taking the shot. We do have a handful of cases where hunters have claimed to have tried to take down a Bigfoot, but don't you think that, I mean, someone like getting a headshot on a Bigfoot, going and dragging that thing down to the nearest hospital, forensic lab, sheriff's office, whatever, do you think that that would, you know, for once and for all, establish that this is a flesh and blood cryptozoological creature? And why haven't we seen that up until now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that would end the debate right there. I mean, you know, and that's, I mean, there are newly discovered species of primates, you know, coming out of Africa and things like this. And the way they're proven is somebody's got a body, you know, or something like that. So that's the same thing with Bigfoot. If somebody
drags they usually find it in a local market being sold as food.
Yep. Yeah. Something like that. I mean, you know, the locals don't know it's, you know, a rare and uncatalogued primate. They just see it and then there it is. So, but the situation with hunters, you know, I mean, that's a puzzling thing is you do have reports of many hunters having Bigfoot sightings and many of these occurring when they're in the tree stand and they've got their rifle there and they've got it, you know, in the sights of their scope. I talked to a witness I was interviewing just last week who was in that very position. And I said, you know, why did you not shoot it? I mean, you know, you could prove it. He said, I thought about it. I looked at it. He said, it was just so astounding at what I was looking at. He thought, you know, what if I miss? What if I shoot? It doesn't take it down. What if there's others standing, you know, in the trees that I can't see? If I shoot that thing, I just don't know what's going to happen. Not only that, it, you know, what if it's the chance that this is somehow related to humans or whatever? I don't want to be drag this down and then be thrown in jail for murder. There's just so many questions that you've got to confront.
You know, some of that sounds like an excuse, though, like maybe they're closely related to humans and I'll be arrested for murdering a Bigfoot. And I don't know, that might be a stretch. But the other thing people might ask here is, all right, these are living beings. They live, they die, no corpses. Never a corpse anywhere. Why?
That's a huge problem. I mean, you know, a lot of people, the arguments are usually, well, you know, when's the last time you found a bear, dead bear in the woods? Well, not very often, certainly, but it has happened. And, you know, bears can be proven. So it's one of those things that's extremely puzzling and doesn't really add up. It, you know, the fact that we don't have a body doesn't disprove it, of course, and that's kind of what keeps that carrot dangling that, well, you got to keep looking. People say they see them, so, hey, you know, there must be something to it. So, but why that none of them have been hit by a car, not one hunter has actually shot one and dragged it out of the woods. Now, hunters say they've shot it, but they just didn't bring it in.
So these hunters in particular didn't have a problem in shooting them. They didn't worry about being attacked by a mass Bigfoot or being arrested by the police for murdering a Bigfoot. We'll get into more of this in a moment. We have Lyle Blackburn here for one more segment with Gene and Chris. You're in
the Paracast.
Free from the shackles of corporate America, we're the place for independent thinkers. GCN.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for under $30,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet under $30,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL.
Lock in your price now. Take delivery in spring.
866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
Hi, this is Steve Sanchez, and based on a recent study, it was found that 57 million Americans had legal issues over the last 12 months, but only 60% of those studied sought out the services of a lawyer. Why? In a nutshell, affordability. Well, my friends at Legal Shield have created a solution that can help you not if, but when you need an attorney. For as little as $17 per month, Legal Shield will provide you unlimited access to qualified attorneys at an accomplished law firm for advice and counsel on legal issues no matter matter how serious or trivial. For over 40 years and with 1.4 million families across North America, Legal Shield can help you, the loyal GCN listener. Representatives are standing by now to answer your questions, so call them now at 1-855-340-SAVE. That's 1-855-340-7283 or visit them at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com.
Pharmacist Ben Fuchs knows the importance of proper digestion.
Make sure you take a look at the ultimate enzyme product. They're made with bile salts and fat digestion enzymes and protein digestive enzymes. And not only do the ultimate enzymes give you obvious benefits for digestion, but they can also help keep your blood flowing through your circulatory system. As most of you probably know by now, thick, sludgy, clotting blood is a serious risk factor for heart disease and stroke. Clearly, inappropriate and excessive blood clotting is a major health issue, and thick, sludgy blood is not just about heart health either. Sludgy blood can compromise oxygenation and nutrient delivery to all your cells and tissues and organs and ultimately lead to almost any health issue you can name.
Concerned about proper digestion and heart health, order Ultimate Enzymes by calling 866-735-2470. That's 866-735-2470 or on the web at brightsidemen.com. That's brightsidemen.com. Order today.
This is Jacques Vallée, and you're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Monster Hunting with Lyle Blackburn, exploring the case at Boggy Creek, the Lizard Man, and all these monsters trying to find some evidence about what's going on. And the question is here, we know you've done the books, you continue to write about the subject, but what about the fact here that so far we haven't discovered any new evidence, just more case histories? What keeps you going?
Well, I think for me personally is I have fun with the subject. I mean, first and foremost, you know, I like the stories. They're spooky. They make, you know, great conversations, interviewing witnesses that tell you they've seen basically what is a monster lurking in the woods is fun. And so I have to think that I wouldn't want to be so darn serious and after, you know, 40 years of research, think that I've wasted my time. So the camaraderie between researchers is great, getting out camping, getting in the woods, exploring the outdoors, the thrill that you might see something unknown is a great allure, and me and my friends enjoy that. Now, on top of that, you know, if we really did find proof, evidence, a photo, or if I could just see one with my own eyes, it would be amazing. And there is that chance, you know, but, you know, if that never happens, I'm not losing anything. I think that I've brought forth good stories in my book. I've met a lot of very cool people, interesting people, and that's what keeps me going as far as the research, even in the face of such improbability and such questions and puzzles as we've raised here in the last hour.
Well, we know, of course, that most people who write books on the subject don't become millionaires. So we assume that you have to put some money together to make these trips. So you just travel on the cheap or what?
Well, yeah, I definitely, you know, try to be economical about it. And I certainly the books, I don't make a huge profit, and it's something that usually gets rolled back into the research, hence the fact that I have to take freelance writing jobs and things like that. I just can't exist off writing these kind of books. But I just love doing it, and that's, you know, it's, again, I have a good time with it, so I can forego the wishes to be a millionaire with it. But it is certainly costly, and I mean, I've seen comments on the internet that I'm trying to cash in on, you know, the Legend of Boggy Creek or something. I'm like, cash in, buddy. Now, how much time and money?
Man, what a joke. You
know, oh, it's ridiculous. I've seen all kinds of just, I mean, and this is the nature of the internet. I mean, not everybody likes what you do, but I just see some ridiculous
stuff. There's a huge peanut gallery in the internet. You have to kind of just put them out of your mind sometimes.
You're not saying here that their minds are as small as peanuts.
Well, that too, but there's a huge peanut gallery that is willing and able, and, I mean, they'll jump all over you just for expressing an interest in a subject. I mean, let alone getting out of their armchair and actually going out and doing the research. Lyle, do you know J.C. Johnson?
Yes.
We had J.C. on a couple of weeks ago, and boy, I'll tell you, you know, we have a very up-to-speed listenership out there, and on the forums here at forum.theparacast.com, a lot of people really wanted to take JC and his presentation of his investigative efforts to task. Now, I'll tell you, I have heard a lot of stories in my time, and if you add them all up, JC can top them. What do you think about someone like JC who is sitting, you know, and I'll be the first to admit, he's sitting in an area of the country that is really high strange. But what do you take someone like JC, who is so over the top and so, you know, sitting around the campfire style, that it's very difficult to take anything that he says, you know, without a huge block of salt? You seem much more circumspect. What do you think of researchers and investigators like JC?
Again, this is, you know, something that has a wide range of people that are attracted to the subject, and researchers vary dramatically in their approach. You know, some more scientific, some more dramatic. You know, but I try to look at, you know, I try not to be the peanut gallery. I try not to, you know, judge people's or jump to conclusions about stuff, because we are dealing with high strangeness, as you say, and there really are no right or wrong answers, you know, and we're really not, unless somebody's looked into that case and talked to those witnesses and knows more about it, you really can't just dismiss it. Now, you can definitely, I try to focus on what I believe to be the most credible sources and the most credible stories and focus on that, because there's plenty of them. You don't really don't have to get ridiculous. So, you know, the JC's been doing it a long time, and he knows he's smart about the subject, and, you know, I respect his research, and I respect the research of, you know, what everybody else has done, save for somebody who's like purporting hoaxes or parading bodies around the U.S.
Well, Lyle, hold on. Wait a minute. J.C. has been hot on the trail of a group of centaurs. He claims that I think it's like some little retreat center or monastery with a priest and acolytes living in a remote area of New Mexico, have been seeing centaurs. Have you ever heard, ever, of a centaur report, except for some sort of Greek myth or something?
Okay, let's sit down for this. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready for the response from Lyle.
Okay, yeah, the centaur. Well, you know, I don't know about that. I'm not really up on his centaur investigation, so I'm not totally qualified to comment on that. Now, I just don't know. But I can tell you that people report some really bizarre stuff. And then this is coming from somebody.
Let me ask you this. If you saw a horse with the upper body of a human instead of a horse head, and you had a .30-06, would you take that sucker down or what?
I guess so. I'd be thinking like Clash of the Titans, the gods might punish me for this. But I mean, you know, I don't even know what to think about. That's so off my radar. I'm just way more down to earth. If I hear a centaur report, I don't know. I'd have to hear it straight up. I'm the type of person that I don't have time to debunk everybody's goings-ons. If I'm face-to-face with a researcher and they tell me about it, then I can make a much more better judgment. I might think they're crazy, but until then, I just say, that's your case, man, and if you can prove it, great. I mean,
yeah, do what thou willst.
Yes, that's your deal.
Well, I know JC. JC actually is a friend, and I've spent some time with him. I've done some work out in the field with him. And I'll tell you, I have never met a guy that's more enthralling around a campfire than this guy. I mean, it doesn't matter what the subject is, he's got one for you.
Yeah, and that, you know, that's his forte, and that's awesome. And you know, it at the end of the day, again, it's all great mysteries, and we're just trying to sort through them as best we can. So
okay, so what's up for you in the future here? What is on your radar? We've only got about a minute left. Give us a sense of where you're going with your particular research.
I'm looking into writing a book that's more of a general Southern Sasquatch type thing. So I'm still trying to sketch out exactly what I'm doing, but it will be a back to a Bigfoot book. I got some appearances coming up. I'll be at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference on April the 26th, and all that. So, but people can follow me by checking out my website, lyleblackburn.com, find out where to get my books, all that sort of stuff, and you know, send me some feedback if you like. If you've seen a centaur or a Bigfoot, just let me know.
Okay, so we're going to have a special show on centaur sightings, I think, at this point. Chris O'Brien can be found at OurStrangePlanet.com, and they're setting up the StalkingTheHerd.com site. It's already got its rudimentary features there. We've got a special section in our forum at forum.theparacast.com for Chris's new book. And if you go to theparacast.com, you can download every episode of the Paracast. Now, this week, I understand, in addition to GCN and Boost Radio Network, we'll be joining IRN Internet Radio Network for a wider reach for the Paracast. Lyle Blackburn, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Hey, yeah, thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate it. Enjoyed the conversation.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg and Christopher O'Brien, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
The nation's largest independently owned and operated talk radio network, the Genesis Communications Network, GCN.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
We the people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it lent back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Hi, Ted Anderson. I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's no secret that silver is one of the oldest known natural antibiotics, but the mainstream media will never tell we the people this information. Why? Many drug companies and politicians have dangerous alliances that manipulate the way we live by prescribing drugs that only manage disease, keeping us dependent on Big Pharma. And with Obamacare at our doorstep, we are now forced into a system that many of us do not want any part of. And no man or government has the right to dictate how we as free people choose to take care of our health. The patriots at UtopiaSilver.com hold this truth dear. Colloidal and ionic silver supplements from UtopiaSilver.com open the door to a whole new world of natural healing for the body and the mind. Visit UtopiaSilver.com and discover the safe and effective health benefits of colloidal and ionic silver. Call 888-213-4338, 888-213-4338, and talk to the patriots at UtopiaSilver.com, a leading source of natural healing using colloidal silver, colloidal gold, minerals, vitamins, and herbs. UtopiaSilver.com.